God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to be nourished by it. God's word to be strengthened so that we may continue on the path of life with him as our companion, as the Savior leads us and guides us and feeds us, is the gospel lesson. What Jesus in the upper room, as Jesus is telling his disciples the words that he is instructing to guide them and to lead them, to feed them with these words. And then going to the close of the 16th chapter, Jesus telling his disciples and you, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace in the world, but take courage. You have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about your life. As I always say, I want you to think about your life, the life that you have in God, the life that you were baptized into, the life that you were confirmed in, the life that you made the vows, I will follow Jesus even until death. And I want you to think about that life, and I want you to think about your life in the world, and I want you to think about what this world is coming to. We see killings. We hear of children being killed. We hear about child abuse, domestic abuse. We hear about lives, innocent lives, being taken. What is this world coming to? We hear of juveniles, young children, who are, best word for it, jackknifing cars, pushing people aside, taking vehicles for joyrides. What is this world coming to? We have boards of education. We have city councils. We have legislatures. We have our own Congress and senators that can't even look at another person and say something good. We're sniping. We're criticizing. We're putting down people. A person cannot even hear a good word. What is this world coming to? We have challenges. We have challenges of sleeping and eating. We have challenges of getting dressed and walking. We have challenges in our own life. We have things happening to our bodies that we don't even understand that is going on. What is this world and this life coming to? The disciples might have said the same thing about looking at Jesus and saying, why is he washing our feet? Why is he paying attention to us in some ways that we're not going to see him again? Why is Jesus telling us that we don't understand, but we will later on? Why is this Jesus sharing his body and his blood? Where is he going? What is this happening? What is going on in this world? We don't even understand, but the devil is having his way. He's coming into marriages and putting a wedge in and driving that wedge and making it larger and larger, separating them from one another. He's coming into families and starting to destroy the very fabric of life. This devil is saying, come, why don't you come and follow me? I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And we have people thinking that their life revolves around riches and wealth to the detriment of their own selves and their families. What is this world coming to?
Jesus says to his disciples, in the world you have, will have tribulation.
That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus says, will have. He doesn't say, you have had. He says, will.
So when he says that word, will, that tells us that no matter what, we're going to face something. We're going to face something detrimental. A few years ago, well, it's more than a few years ago now. I'm going to say about 10 years ago.
I was an active pastor. It was Bethany and St. Peter of Belvedere. And the grandmother called me on the phone and said, Pastor, can you come up to Red Wing? Our daughter-in-law has just had a stillborn. Will you baptize? I said, I'll be right there. We don't normally baptize stillborn babies. We trust in God's strength, God's guidance that child would be in his heaven. But for the comfort of the parents and grandparents, I went and I baptized that child. 2 days later, we had a graveside service for a stillborn child. It wasn't my first. And each time it would tug at my heartstrings. What is this world coming to? The parents were some fringe members of the church. And yet they needed comfort. They needed words of encouragement. They knew that they weren't in church. They knew that calling on pastor, they would hear some words of law. But you know, I get to tell them good news, and I told them good news about their child. What is this world coming to? God is using us where we are to tell others of good news of Jesus. And he's calling you as well. He's sowing the seed in your hearts and your lives that you can sow in the seeds into the hearts and lives of other people. Because God gives you that strength. God gives you that purpose to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling the disciples that, take heart, I have overcome the world for you, giving you a path so you may tell others about me. Jesus is doing the same thing with us in our lives, using us where we are, so that we may grow in the garden of life, in the garden of the world, telling others about Jesus. But you know, the fact of life is that a lot of people are turning away from the Word of God. The fact of life is a lot of people are turning away from Jesus because they can find something else to grab onto, some other idol, or some other work, or some other good thing that brings them that encouragement and presence. Because Jesus isn't really beside us, is he? He's not physically there. But he's here. He's with each and every one of us. He's with us in our good times, and he's with us in our bad times. He's with us when we're joyful, and he's with us when we're stressful and grieving. Just a couple days ago, I was able to visit with one of our members here, and she lives in Red Wing with her granddaughter, and I went to see her, and I didn't know who I was going to see. Because she's had a rocky life. And she was in the nursing home for a while.
And now she's living with her granddaughter. And I went to see her, and I knocked on the door, and she was the only one left there, because the other two adults left with the kids, and I had a prime opportunity to talk with her. And I said, "Lorraine, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing just fine," she says. And she had this smile on her face that brightened the day. And we sat, and I shared the word of God with her. And then we had the Lord's Prayer, and she said the Lord's Prayer with me. And then at the end of celebrating communion with her, I started with the Lord with the 23rd Psalm. And she recited it word for word out of the King James language, because that's what she knew. And here was her celebrating the sacrament of Christ's body and blood to strengthen her and her life. That's what God gives us. He gives us the prime opportunity to share him with others. Even though we're going through trials and tribulations, even though we are hurting as well from time to time, yet God uses us to speak words of comfort. A number of years ago, it's probably about close to 44, 45 years ago, can remember those things, you know. Entering my second year at the seminary, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, my first year was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I was getting D's and C's, and I had to repeat a class during the summer. I had it. I've had it. I'm not going to go through that anymore. I'm just going to pick up and leave. I had two good friends. One was a pastor at South Shore Trinity in White Bear Lake. The other was godfather of our second child, Andrew. And these two guys, one spoke the law. You can't leave. God put you here for a reason. You can't leave. You won't leave. I won't let you leave. And the other put his arm around me and he says, "You know, Scott," and of course, all these words I don't remember, but the gesture from one of them was, "You know, Scott, you get to tell about Jesus. You get to tell about the gospel, about Jesus loving you, Jesus encouraging you." So I continued because of these two guys that God had sent as messengers with a message for me as his servant. God has that message for you too. God uses you where you are, whether you're a farmer, or whether you're an IT person, and you work with books, or home, or mail. God is using you, or if you're retired. God has the opportunity. I sat with a friend this last week and had coffee with him. He's vacancy pastor up at Concordia in Red Wing. And we got to share Jesus with each other. He said, "You know, Scott, I'm getting tired. I'm not going to serve any more vacancies after this." And I said, "Dale, don't tell me that. God's going to use you. He's used you for these last couple of vacancies. He's going to continue to use you." I saw his face brighten for a minute. I said, "Yeah, we get to tell others about Jesus, how Jesus affected us, how Jesus loves us, how Jesus will lift us up, how Jesus will send us out with his word and with his spirit, so that we may tell others about the grace and the love that he has for us." One more bit of advice or bit of guidance that I have when Jesus says,
In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When you put together an obituary, please don't use those who have survived. Please use this phrase. And I learned this from a fellow pastor who's now living with the Lord. Those in God's grace of time include. Because that's who we are. We're living in God's grace of time. We're not survivors. We haven't survived a crash or a tragedy or something. We're those who live in God's grace of time. And as we live in God's grace of time, we have the message. We have the message of Christ crucified. We have the message of Jesus living. We have the message that Jesus lives for us. May we use that message in support and encouragement of each other. In God's holy name, in Christ's holy name, amen.